invite you to stand and sing with us, Blessed Be the Name, which is our call to worship. It's number 63, or it's on the screen. Invited us to this place to worship. You were here before us, and you will be here after we leave, but you also came with us, and you will go with us. It is your invitation that we have answered. We have come to dine at the feast of your word and at the feast of your Holy Spirit, giving us life and everlasting life. Let us enjoy our time together, and let us remind ourselves that if we sing and if we praise and if we read scriptures, and that is all we do, we have simply come to a meeting. But if we encounter the Holy Spirit, and if our lives are changed by meeting you in this place, then we have truly worshiped. May the power of that Spirit be upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we ask you to sing with us. Come, Christian, join to sing. 158. Psalter, which is page 819 and 820 in your United Methodist hymn book. It is Psalm 99. Let us come together for the reading of our Psalter. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. The Lord sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion and is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and wondrous name.
Holy is the Lord.
Mighty ruler, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God, worship at the Lord's footstool.
Holy is the Lord.
Moses and Aaron were among God's priests. Samuel also was among those who called on God's name.
They cried to the Lord, who answered them, who spoke to them in the pillar of cloud.
They kept God's testimonies and the statutes God gave them.
O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Extol the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy mountain.
Surely the Lord, our God, is holy.
Let us pray together. Your people cry out to you, O Lord. We cry out to you for your love to overwhelm us and your grace to change us. We cry out to you, O Lord, that the peace that was offered to us at Christmas would be the peace we would accept through the crucifixion and resurrection. We cry out to you, O Lord, to heal our world, to walk with us that we might walk with you, to cure us from the need for war, to cure us from the need of hate and wrongdoing, to protect those who are in harm's way, and to give grace and peace in all the steps we are taking. We do pray, O Lord, for those that are sick, that have had heart attacks and strokes and suffer from cancer, as we've heard about both in this congregation and the two before we got here this morning. We pray for those who struggle with walking and those who struggle with breathing. We offer our prayers knowing that you already know the persons we speak about. For those who struggle with addiction and pain in their lives, we offer, O Lord, prayers for those who feel that they are not loved and yet you love them and they would find that love. And we offer our praise and our prayers for weddings that are going to take place, that you would be in the wedding to know that it is a worship service, that we are worshiping you, O Lord, and that lives are being given to each other, but they're also being given to you. Oh, let that be so in ways that we cannot even imagine. And we ask for our dear congregation, both those who are present with us this morning and those who could not be here, that which you would heal them from COVID, the ones that struggle with that this day, and that you would be with them and that healing would take place in a complete and mighty way, and that you would allow us to feel that healing upon our own bodies and our own soul, however we are walking and wherever we are. Bless us and care for us in a way that only you can, and help us. Help us, O Lord, to be in your will. With all the prayers that I have lifted up, but all the prayers that have been lifted up by the dear folks in this congregation and the ones who listen to us online, let those prayers be answered. And let us give thanks to you for the answering even before the answer comes. Now walk with us in ways only you can. And allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And believing that God answers prayer and has paid attention to what we are praying, let us stand and sing together, "To God Be the Glory," page 98 or on your screen, singing as God leads you to. Let us stand. Let us pray. And now may we give to you, O Lord, the way you have given to us in the fullness of your being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. even though you would normally sit down for the choir to sing, since they are not singing, if you would remain standing for the reading of God's holy word found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Or, if you want the entire story we're reading about today, you'll turn to Joshua chapter 2 and read the entire chapter, okay? It will give you that. You feel free to do that after I've preached. Here it is, scripture in 11:31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. May God's plan for us be made clear and full in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's talk about Rahab for a minute before we get fully into the sermon points, at least. The first one is God has a plan for all of us. Let's talk about her. One of my favorite texts in the New Testament is when Jesus gets scolded by the Pharisees and Sadducees for eating with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. Because Jesus is not supposed to ever eat with somebody like that. He's supposed to be with the religious people. He's supposed to be in the temple teaching. He's supposed to be acting ways that have been defined for him by the people of his time. And so he spends a lot of time, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, eating with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. He does that over and over and over again. Well, Rahab, in the reading of Joshua 2, never stops being a prostitute. Now, she's a prostitute with a higher calling, but she never stops being a prostitute. Nowhere in the text does it say she stopped. In fact, it's very interesting if you read that chapter. It begins by an understanding that the king knew Rahab the prostitute. He knew her at least well enough to find out if she was the one harboring the spies. Now, I wonder who told him that she might be doing that. I want you to think through this. Let me help you with this. I need you to get rid of about half your inhibitions for the next 15 minutes. Okay? I need you to loosen up. The king knew the prostitute. He even knew where she lived and what her house looked like. Now, how would he have known that? Y'all quiet. I want you to think through this. She is a person that is well known to the community. The Bible never wavers on who she is or what she does. And yet in the reading of Hebrews this morning, at the very end, it says she did not perish with those who were disobedient. Why? Because Rahab has a plan from God that is a prostitute with her higher calling, welcomes the spies. This is what she did. She welcomed and hid them. Scriptures never tell us she changed her ways. Now, we all hope she did, amen? Genealogy in Scriptures gives you a hint at what she might have changed and how she might have changed. So if you really want to follow this, and I would suggest you do that, go start reading the genealogies that come after this reading. You'll find some interesting parts of this, but that's not for this morning. She answers a calling. And the calling is to care for spies in her city with her people. It would have been easier for her to turn them in with the hope of saving her city and her people. But what is the deal Rahab works out with the spies? If you don't know, go back and read that chapter. Here's the deal. I will save you, I will protect you, I will hide you, but here's what you're going to do for me. You're going to let us live when you conquer this city and kill everybody else. And they worked it out where anybody that was in her house got to live, and she would put a scarlet string or cord outside her window, and they were told to leave that alone. While everything else was burnt down, tore down, and everybody else was killed, they had to stay inside. And as long as they did that, guess what? They got to live. They're saved. Now, last week we talked about marching around the city, and y'all got involved in that conversation. And on the seventh day, they marched around, and they gave a loud yell. And what happened to the walls? They fell down. I want you to notice the walls fell down, but Rahab's place of living that was on the walls, because she let the spies out down the window and told them to go a different way after she lied to the king and told him to go one way with his people, and they told him to go another way so they would be protected and not be killed by the king's army. She let them down the wall. That part of the wall doesn't fall because she's protected in her house. We all have a calling. And I want you to dig with this for me, and I want you to listen to it. She helped conquer the city. How did she do that? She helped conquer the city because she let the spies go and report. She gave them the ability to give all the information out so they could report and give the word that needed to be there. She walked through this process all the time being who she is. So if I asked you this morning, take a piece of paper out, and on that piece of paper, in a paragraph or less, if I asked you to write down who you are in that paragraph, what would you say about yourself? And you can't lie. No fibbing. No making yourself look better or worse than you are. Because some of us take the worst part of ourselves, and that's what we write about. If you wrote down who you are, what would you say? Now, there's no guidelines except honesty. Well, I would want to start with, I'm a sinner saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace. That's what I want to start with. But the problem with that is that I'd have to admit that I'm a sinner. I come to the point where I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've asked God into my life. God has changed me. God lives in me through the Holy Spirit. I believe in Christ as Savior and Lord, and I try to follow Jesus with all that I am, and I try to do everything that God would have me be. And yet I begin my statement of who I am by saying I am a sinner. At what moment in my salvation experience that I cease being a sinner. So we follow that up quick as we can by a sinner saved by grace. So all of you have accepted Christ as Savior, and I'm going to work with the fact you all have. It's not my judgment. I'm just going to work with it for this sermon's sake. Same for you dear folk online. Listen carefully. At what moment after your salvation experience did you become perfect? All perfect people can go home now. You're free to leave. Police are coming after you now. You're free to go. All perfect people can hit the door. So, everybody, I see y'all getting up and leaving. You would expect the pastor to be the first one out, right? My problem is I've studied enough to know just how imperfect I am. I want you to think through this process. You're right about who you are. If you start sentences like I would, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then I find myself realizing that I may not know me at all. I may find out that what I know is the person I want everybody else to think I am. Nobody puts the best foot forward when they come to church so everybody thinks they're something they're not really, do we? None of us get home and change, do we? I've spent 39 years of being married to this dear lady, 39 years in November, the 5th, in case you don't think I know. We got married on a Monday night. We said, I do at 7:14. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, I just put that in my little notes. And even though I'm partially colorblind, I can tell you the flowers that we had were red and yellow. All right, what about that now, huh? Yeah, amen. It'll win me no brownie points, but here we go. And so, and yet, I've spent 39 years trying to get my dear wife to be relaxed. Just relax. It's okay to come home and take your shoes off. And take your dress clothes off and get your comfy stuff on. For all these years, she said, but what if somebody shows up that's not expected? We lived in a parsonage, let's be fair. We lived in a parsonage until we bought a house 6 years ago, a little over 6 years now. Lived in a parsonage that somebody else owned that they could show up at any time for all those 30 plus years before we had our own place. And if y'all don't think people won't show up at the parsonage unannounced, y'all never lived in a parsonage. In fact, the smaller the town, the worse it was. And they always came with white gloves, and they would always rub it on the mantle of the fireplace.
Really?
In some form or fashion. And they expected me to cut grass in my tie, which when I retired, I swore I'd never wear again. I do on Communion Sunday. And I get why relaxing was hard. But we're not the only ones under a microscope. None of y'all have ever had mothers and fathers-in-law show up unexpected and look around the house, have you? Amen? Or your best friend show up? What's for dinner? We're in the South. Show up, you expect to eat. We spent all this time trying to make sure y'all thought we were really better than we are. If you come to my house now, you're welcome, by the way. I always have barbecue. I keep it in the freezer. It's froze. I always got barbecue ready to go. Take me 45 seconds to heat it up, get you some barbecue. I always have it. You're going to get me in gym shorts and a t-shirt. I might have socks on. That is not how preachers are supposed to look. Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace, who is learning to be himself. Because that's how God made me. Thank God, God didn't make 1.2 billion of me. Number one, we would never quit arguing. And number two, who wants us to be the same? And yet we set out a mold and we say this is the mold of how the people that God's going to use to achieve what God's trying to achieve in our world. We mold people to look like this and act like this and be like this, whatever this is. And in this scripture, who does God use to save the nation of Israel? It's a prostitute. Do you hear me? It's a prostitute who does not quit being, at least in this scripture, a prostitute. In fact, she's so much into who she is, she makes a deal for her life so the rest of them can die. And the nation can live. Go read the story. Don't read it with rose-colored glasses to make it look like what you want it to look like. Read it. The nation is saved and the city is destroyed partially through her actions. Write your paragraph. Who are you? I challenge you to go home and write it. It's not a homework assignment. I'm not going to ask for a copy and make sermons out of it. Oh, I got a feeling it'd be some pretty good stuff. What I want you to do, I want you to do two things for me. One, it's not really you, but I want you to do it. I want you to first understand that God knows who you are no matter how much you're hiding. Amen? And secondly, I don't think we know who we are. Because we spent so much time trying to be what people think we ought to be, instead of being the person God created us to be. Well, they won't like me if they know who I really am. Well, that's their problem. 2 days ago, I was reading, and I know if it's on the internet, it must be true, right?
Sure.
2 days ago, I was reading advice from people over 70 to people under 25. Number one on the list, believe it or not, they must have been reading Joshua. Number one on the list was, be yourself. It's the only way you're ever going to be happy. Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Myself has changed slightly. Not from just being a sinner, which I never stopped being, but to being a saved sinner who tries to follow the path that God leads me on, not what I want to be on. Rahab followed a path. Calling was answered. The spies came, and they left, and they conquered the city. And she took part in that. For the kingdom of God, What part of the kingdom is God calling you to take part in? For we all have a calling. Let us pray together. Our Lord and our God, this story that you give us from the Old Testament and from the little reading in Hebrews has about a billion parts to it. It is so fascinating. I think part of the problem we've done in the church, Lord, is we've quit allowing the Bible to be fascinating and trying to make it into something you never intended it to be. We've lost the wonderment of it. We've lost the thrill of reading it. Sometimes because we've read it so many times, which is glorious, but sometimes because we've lost the mystery of the Savior. We've lost the living Word. This has so many parts to it, and yet it proves to us one thing, O Lord, if nothing else. All of us have a calling to answer and a part to play in the kingdom. May we this morning challenge ourselves to look at who we are and whose we are, and let us write down that little paragraph about who we are, and let us be challenged by the essence of what you give us. Now allow us to come and pray in this altar if we are led. Let us go in peace after we sing and proclaim. And let us find your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 130. God will take care of you. By the way, women, in case you didn't see the title, look again. A woman's work is never done. Always look at that. Page 130, God will take care of you. remind you, there are cookies, and is there ice cream too? Or just cookies? Do we know?
No.
Ice cream too? We got both. Okay. Cookies and ice cream back there. Celebrating everybody's birthday for October and their anniversary. Are you ready for the birthday song?
I am. Do you want me to say whose birthday it is?
Yes, why don't you do that?
Oh, wow. Okay. Kathy Cole, Ashley Randolph. Parker and Laura McAuliffe.
They couldn't hear you.
Go again.
Do it again. Go for it.
Okay. Kathy Cole, Ashlyn Randolph, Ellie Mae Newman, Jay McNally, Georgia Dart, Linda Fuller, Pat Brown, Jordan Kamakawa. Is that right? Yay! Jill Everhart, Keith Easter, John Tremley. Anniversaries, Parker and Laura McAuliffe, John and Peggy Pemberton. Now, we can sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday now.
Happy birthday to you.
Grace go with us. May the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. May we partake of food and enjoy it. May it be blessed. And let us in all things know that you walk with us. Let us go in peace. And let us find ourselves in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.